So I said this earlier, but I want to remind you guys again to text your questions into 541-203-6652. This is a really great and unique opportunity that we have to actually get to ask these guys questions real time. So it's good. So I want to start off with this question that we talked about before the message. And I want to start by reading Genesis 22:12. God says, "Now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son." And I just want to start off by asking you guys, it looks like from that and kind of the way you set this up, that the purpose of that whole scenario, the whole situation, was really more about Abraham than God. And why was it set up that way? What do you think? Why is it so important to God to kind of have that kind of faith?
Jen, I know you had a thought on this, and I'll let you probably answer it in greater detail, but God doesn't need us. He chooses to allow us to participate with him in his purposes. And I think it comes back to that, you know, that desire for relationship that God has for us to operate in partnership with us. And we so often think that, you know, again, because of the decisions that we make, that it disqualifies us from partnership. But I think here you can see that God's patience in allowing the process of Abraham to play out gives us a picture of how God truly operates in our life and his desire to allow us to participate in what it is that he is doing. And he places such grand significance on our partnership with him and what we bring to the scenario. Just like, you know, when God went to David and he said, "Hey, David, do what's in your heart for the temple, for the place of worship." That's just again a picture of how God wants to interact with us.
Yeah, when I was reading over this section of scripture, one of the things that stood out to me was we know that God is all-knowing, and we know that God already knew the state of Abraham's heart, right? So if we believe that he knows everything already, then was this really a setup to answer a question in God's heart, or was this a scenario for a question to be answered in Abraham's heart? When you think about how God wants to partner with us, Abraham, I believe, needed to have the question answered in his own heart that I 100% am partnering with God and holding nothing back. And so I think, even though it says, "Now I know that you'll withhold nothing from me," I think it really was a setup for Abraham to be able to come from that situation and say, "Now I know that I am completely committed to the Lord, and I will hold nothing back." And because when you say God doesn't need anything from us, the only thing that God needs from us is our hearts and the relationship. He designed us, and he needs that from us. He doesn't need us to give up valuable things so he feels worthy. He needs relationship. And in order for Abraham to really step into that, Abraham had to know that he had answered a yes with everything.
Yeah, I'd love to press into that a little bit more. So, Eric, you alluded to this a little bit, but you know, when we read these now, it's easy to kind of see things how they unfold, right? It's easy to look back and like you said, play the armchair quarterback and say, "Well, they should have done this, they should have done that," or see how things unfold, right? Like, "Oh, that makes so much sense. I see what God was doing. I see how Abraham, you know, handled that. Wow, that's great." But from a practical standpoint, how do we do this in our everyday life when we don't have the luxury of looking back at a perfectly curated story from, you know, thousands of years ago? How do you tell? Life is very confusing, it's very difficult, it's full of unknowns, and how do we have this kind of situation in our everyday life when we're just trying to live?
Yeah, I think some of it comes back to the basics and how we function as people that worship. I think it's interesting to see, and we may get to this in a little bit too, and I wanted to share this when I was speaking a minute ago, but the place where Abraham traveled to was actually Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah is modern-day Jerusalem, and it's actually the exact site where Solomon built his temple. It's not insignificant that the faith journey that Abraham went on, and as we alluded to when they were going up the mountain, that Isaac asked them, where are we going? We're going up to worship. That was the mountain of worship. That the faith journey that Abraham went on was, it culminated in worship. So I think from a practical standpoint, that one, realizing that our faith journey is worship before the Lord, when we are, when we're actively, wholeheartedly desiring for God to be in every part of our life and to have him, you know, we talk about integration, to have him integrated into everything, and ultimately getting back to that place of not withholding, it's a posture of our heart that as we live our life with that, yeah, we're not going to do everything perfectly, but we're desiring for God to be so integrated into everything that then there's this place where we get to just live more confidently that he's in all of it, and my desires become his desires, and worship certainly is a launching place for that. But I love that picture of how, you know, it started out just as, you know, go to this mountain, but ultimately, you know, God is, the layers of what God does is so, so intricate, right? And the story, we don't see it right now. You know, Abraham had no clue that he was going to the mountain where ultimately that would be the place of worship. He had no idea. He was just responding. He just had a yes. So I think coming back to that place of yes helps us to be able to navigate through the unknown of what things look like when we don't know what it's going to look like. Because, again, all of our stories are still being written. But if I have that yes in my heart and I trust that God is good, then those two things together, really, I can't fail.
So what I hear you saying is you can't really figure it out. There's no way to figure it out. It has to be a purposeful yes from the beginning in every situation, because you can't tell ahead of time, right?
Well, yes and no. So I think, you know, we get insight into what God is doing. So Abraham did know where things were going because he had the prophetic word, right? That was the launch of all of that. And oftentimes we get that. Not always, but a lot of times when significant things in our life, we get that word, we have an idea of where we're going, but we don't know what all the individual parts of it are. You know, Abraham, he had Ishmael because he thought, well, God's really not, you know, maybe he forgot, and so I'm gonna go about it this way. But yet God, you know, there's a level of patience that goes along with it too. So I think we don't know exactly. We see in part and know in part, but we have the prophetic. We have the understanding of where it is that we're going and overall vision and goal for where your life is going. God has spoken to you things. All the time people say, I know God has spoken this to me and I haven't seen it yet, but how do you hang on to those things? You steward that word by keeping that yes in your heart. And so I think that's so yes and no. Like, we don't know all the details necessarily, how it's going to play out. But I think this is the value of having words in your life that you steward, because Abraham had that. God gave that to him. Otherwise, how would he have known what to do and what was going to happen?
Yeah. I'd love to transition a little bit. So you mentioned that you and Scott had talked about this word Hanini a couple of times, or a few weeks ago, and then today. Can you guys speak to that? I think there's more there. Like, specifically, how does it play out? How should it be playing out?
Oh man, I think it plays out in so many different scenarios in our life, right? I mean, there isn't just, we live with a yes, right? We live hopefully under this idea that we say yes to God and we say, God, I've chosen to serve you. I've chosen to live my life for you. And so I, you know, whatever it is that you ask of me. And then he starts digging into the little cracks and crevices where we get to make individual decisions on a daily basis. You know, some of that just looks like how we live our life. Are we living our life with integrity and character and choosing to believe the best in people and choosing to not be afraid of their failures? Some of the things I talked about before, there's little decisions along the way. So there's a big overarching yes, and there's a thousand other little yeses that come up on a daily basis, right? Where we have no clue what, you know, we wake up in the morning and we don't know that, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen today. And I had to be ready with my yes for this particular moment and giving of my time or whatever that might look like. So I think there's an overarching yes, and then there's a thousand little yeses underneath that.
I think just bringing it back to God, what in the process, what he's needing is our hearts and relationship in the process. That's what he's really all about. So, like, it's not just the end goal. Like, sometimes we just think about God was after the end goal and getting there. And he was really, he's in the day-to-day process. And just, I think, just the scenario of asking Abraham to be willing to sacrifice the most valuable thing to him, Abraham needing to partner in that process, the fact that when he got there to make the sacrifice, God provided a different way for him. And I feel like that was such, it was part of that relationship building of proving the goodness of God, like having a yes to a taskmaster that might take your most valuable thing, but yet you still have to say yes to, is very different than through practice learning. I've seen the goodness of God in other tests in my life. And so when he asked me to give this up or he asked me to sacrifice this, I can with confidence in the relationship I have with this good God be willing to sacrifice because he will come through. If giving that up wasn't really the goal, he'll show me because he will provide the appropriate sacrifice. But what he's after is a heart that says, I know you're good and I can trust you. So when my yes says, I trust you're good, and that's why I can say yes.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but there's a couple questions in here. So I just want to remind you guys again, thank you for sending these questions in 541-203-6652. Even if we don't get to them today, definitely ask anyway because we'll reply to them. But there's several questions. I'm going to kind of combine them into one. So what does it look like and how do we approach a situation when we're not really sure if we've missed something God wants us to do or if we flat out say no? And how do we really have confidence knowing God is asking us to step forward in faith like this when it is so hard to tell in the everyday life? So, like, how should we be approaching that from a practical standpoint?
You know, Bobby says, you're not big enough to screw this up.
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail.
Right.
Sorry, too big to fail. You know what I meant. And it actually is true. When we submit our lives to him and come in with that big yes, I think that's a fear-based mentality that we operate out of that says, oh, man, maybe I disqualified myself because I had a resolute no that, you know, in the past. You know, you can look back on so many different, you know, biblical characters, Peter and Abraham, even in these moments where it's like, they just had a no, I'm not, you know, I'm just going to do what feels right to me in this moment that could be deemed as great failure. But again, God doesn't see it that way. And so if we can move out of that fear-based mentality that says, well, you know, God's just kind of waiting to disqualify me. I knew it was going to come. I might as well just get it over with. That's how the world thinks. That's how those that don't have a true relationship with God consider how God interacts with us. He's just waiting to say, oh, there's another one that's disqualified because of that poor decision. And again, there's a deep thing that the Lord needs to do to heal our hearts to get us out of that because it's such a prevalent mindset in our culture, but it's not kingdom. And so I think that we, to move out of the fear based mentality is a process for us all to go through. And part of that is also, you know, what we mentioned earlier is with, you know, when God said to Abraham, now I know that you withhold nothing from me, our fears are part of that, aren't they? The things that we just seem so difficult to let go of, I think our fears, our concerns, the things, I mean, even COVID right now, let's just call it what it is. Like, God's in all of that, but do we trust that he is? Do we truly believe that he is, or am I still allowing, you know, that fear-based mentality to creep in? I think that's a genuine struggle that we all go through, that God has a ton of grace for, but ultimately that's what he's working out of us, is removing the fear, isn't he?
I mean, I know I have been experiencing that over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, where you just want to know, and we're in a time right now where we don't really know. Fill in the blank. We don't know. We don't know the election. We don't know the economy. We don't know the job. We don't know COVID. We don't know. And I think part of it is we just need to step into that and accept that and realize that God does know, and it's not always our responsibility to necessarily know. But I think the message that you're bringing, I really appreciate it, Eric. It's so timely, and I think it's something that's super easy to forget because we get wrapped up with everything that's happening.